You may be seated and thank the Lord for answering prayer. I don't hear no more buzzing, amen. Well, we've already mentioned it this morning and then also tonight. There are three kinds of people concerning trials. There are those of you that have been through a trial. I think I'm looking back, I'm looking at people out here and how God has brought you through trials. I'm looking at Brother Tom Hauser out there, just buried his mama. That's a trial. Amen? That's a trial. And it's hard, and you pray for the Hausers as they try to clean up mama's affairs and all that. And by the way, she left, praise God, Brother Tom, she left things in reasonably good order, exactly what she wanted and all that. I'm looking at Brother George Bolts out there. You'd never know Brother George Bolts went through heavy, heavy trials last year with his leg. Remember, folks, he lost part of his body. His leg was amputated. I think of others in this room, and I could go on and name you. I think of a Charlotte Hubbard that's here tonight and physically hurting, but thought it important enough to be in church tonight. I think of Mrs. Lawley, who doesn't say much about it, but has a very bad back. And I could go on and on. I think of Brother Sammons, who has laryngitis voice like I did last week. Amen. So don't ask Brother Sammons a lot of things tonight. He won't want to tell you. Amen. But there's people that have been through a trial. The second class of people is those that are currently going through a trial. And most of us will never know when someone is going through a trial. Oh, sometimes folks, you ask them how they're doing and you can read it on their face a little bit. You can tell they're going through a trial. I think, again, people that we know, it was so good, and it's so good, even I just looked out there, so good to see Brother Herb here. Brother Herb going through a trial, had blood clots all over his body. And folks, I'm not a doctor, but I know that's not good. That's not good. And the doctor told him he had them all in his lungs, and that's about the worst. Here he is tonight, going through a trial. I think of Miss Robin Owen going through that trial. Folks, most of you don't know Miss Robin was sleeping anywhere from 15 minutes to a half an hour a night and going to the job. She didn't say anything about that. Going through a trial. Those that have been through a trial. And then the third class of all of us is those of us that are going to go through a trial. And folks, this is why God gives us these blessed examples in the Word of God. Because God knows the end from the beginning. He knows we're going to go through trials. By the way, and I don't say this wrongly, but aren't you glad we don't know when we're going to go through trials? Whew. I tell you what, Brother Lowell, I think sometimes I just ball up and sit in a corner if I knew what was coming in my life. And we could all say, amen. Responding to trials. I want you to look, and I don't, again, as we mention, of course, obviously, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe any man was ever tried greater than Job. If you know the background of the story of Job, Job is an upright man, and he's not a perfect man. It says that he's perfect here, and again, I'm not disagreeing with the Bible. That word perfect means mature. He was somebody that believed in God, and he walked with God, and he tried to live for God, and he wasn't without sin. Could we say it that way? Amen? For all have sinned. And he was trying to live his life for God, and he was caring for his wife, and he was caring for his children. I love the passage here in chapter 1. That says he offered burnt offerings to God for his children, lest by any means they had cursed him. Lest by any means his children had messed up. As the patriarch, he said, I'm the spiritual leader and I'm going to offer burnt offerings, and God, would you please bless my children? And then old Satan comes into God's presence. Did you ever try to picture what Satan looks like? You know, the Bible says that he, make no marvel that he transforms himself into an angel of light. I think sometimes in churches, Satan may wear a suit. I think he may wear a long skirt. I don't know. But I try to picture in this scene as he comes to God and all the magnificent angels are around God. They're the cherubims and the seraphims with six wings and twain cover their eyes and twain fly and the other twain are there and they say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And for some unknown reason to us, God permits Satan to come into His presence. It's hard to conceive, isn't it? Someone so holy could be approached by someone so vile. And he comes into God's presence and God allows it. By the way, you read Revelation, we've dealt with it. There's going to come a day where God says, out. And Satan goes to earth and he persecutes God's people on the earth. And then one day God's going to say, not only out, He's going to say prison for 1,000 years. And then He's going to say, lake of fire forever. And all God's people said, that's something to rejoice about. But he comes into God's presence and God begins to brag on Job. "You considered my servant Job?" Satan says, "Yeah, I considered him. You just won't let me at him. That's the problem. You've got this hedge of protection in chapter 1, verse 10. It talks about the hedge. He said, listen, you just break down that hedge. You let me at him. You give me place, so to speak, from this morning. You let me in and I will absolutely destroy him and he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Go ahead. The only thing you do is you can't kill him." And so, God permits sore trials in Job's life. We know if you read along there, it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, "There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee." Job lost his oxen, his livelihood that would plow his fields. And then while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee." He lost all his sheep, whether he sheared them or slaughtered them, whatever it was, he lost them all. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, this news goes from bad to worse to worse. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee." Another form of his livelihood was now gone. Snuffed out by three messengers came back to back to back. And then the fourth and most somber messenger came. And it said in verse 18, "And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house." By the way, it doesn't mean they were getting drunk. It's not what that means. It's they were just enjoying life. And it says, "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee." So he loses his oxen, plow his fields. He loses his sheep. He loses his camels, transportation. And then, ladies and gentlemen, he loses all 10 of his children. I don't know about you, I swallow real hard when I read that passage. And I know God's good. And all God's people said, God's good all the time because that's all He can be. But this was a great trial that Job went through. And if you'll notice, we see some things here in verse 20. 21 and then down into chapter 2, and we'll look at some other things here about how Job responded to these great trials. I've often said it, I cannot imagine at Loomis Park Baptist Church a funeral with 10 caskets. I don't know what we would do. I don't know how we would negotiate that. We'd have to remove pews. I was just trying to think of that. What did Job do? Verse 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, he tore his clothing, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we say, first of all, I've got 7 points tonight. First of all, Job acknowledged God's control. He acknowledged God's control. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going through a trial, and some of you are right now, and I may not know it, but God knows it. If you're going through a trial, and please don't think this trite or smart alecky, because it's not. I mean it with all my heart. God has not fallen off the throne. God is in control. When you have a trial, when you're going through the fire, God is in control. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. You're His child. He loves you. He acknowledged God's control. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither." You know what else he acknowledged about God? He acknowledged God's blessedness. In verse 21, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, folks, it's easy, as we mentioned this morning, it's easy to bless God when everything's going your way. When you got money in the bank, when the gas tank's full, when the family's healthy, it's easy to bless God. And by the way, we should bless God in those times. We get to be an ungrateful lot, and all God's people said, God's been awfully good to us. I hate to even say that together, awfully good. It doesn't sound right, amen. But He's been tremendously good to us. But you know, I believe that God takes greater pleasure. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, please. I don't mean that God enjoys to see us suffer. He doesn't. But I think He takes greater pleasure when someone is going through a trial and they say, "Blessed be God. Blessed be God. You're wonderful. And I don't understand this, but you're still blessed." I think God looks upon that. And I don't know if this is true. I'm away from the pulpit, so I can suppose a little. I think He might even call Satan over and say, "Look at that. He still loves me despite all that you do to him." He acknowledged God's blessedness. He acknowledged God's control. He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord take away." Lord's in control. Lord gave me these children. Lord gave me these livestock. He can take them away. You know what else He did? He controlled how He responded. He controlled how He responded. Look at verse 22. "In all this," three tremendous words in this passage. We almost skip over them. "In all this." You know what that means? During the trial. During the trial. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." M.R. Dehan said this, "Nothing will show more accurately what we are than the way in which we meet trials and difficulties." Job sinned not and he didn't charge God, nor charge God foolishly. You know what? He didn't use his circumstances as an excuse to quit or to sin. Listen, folks, a lot of us right here at the end of chapter 1, a lot of us, and I say us, would have said, I've had enough. That's enough for me. This serving God business, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I just lost everything I had. I just lost all my children. And by the way, it was about to get worse for Job. But it says, he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Hey, listen, folks. I think it was Brother Sammons that told me the quote about John R. Rice. And I like handshaking time. And handshaking time, by the way, when people ask you how you're doing in handshaking time, they're not looking for a doctrinal dissertation. Amen? They ask you how you're doing. Well, oh boy. But John R. Rice came to somebody and said, "Brother, how are you?" He said, "Well, I'm doing good under the circumstances." Which means he wants to tell you more. And Dr. Rice, I can't believe there's flies in here in February. And Dr. Rice said, "What are you doing under the circumstances?" Amen? He controlled how he responded. He acknowledged God's blessedness. He acknowledged God's control. Something else. As we read through chapter 2, we find God again says, Satan, you're still here. Still serving me. Still loves me. Still blesses me. And Satan says, well, naturally he would. I mean, you didn't let me at him physically. You just let me at physically. Hey, skin for skin, all a man hath will give for his own skin. And by the way, for most, that's a true statement. Satan starts afflicting your body, and many of people have cursed God. So God allows Satan to smote Job head to toe with boils. I've only seen one boil in my life. It gives me the willies just thinking about it. And I don't even want to get into it. It's just not nice. How about that? Can we say that from the pulpit? It's not nice. Job was covered from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot with boils. And the Bible says that he took a potsherd in verse 8 and he scraped out the infection in the boils. But if you've ever had an infection, that is about the most painful thing you can do. But you've got to get the infection out before you can heal. Amen. And it says in verse number 9, and this is where a lot of preachers like to have a field day on women. I don't do it. Thus, Job's wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." No, Mrs. Job lost 10 children. Preachers for centuries have been beating up Mrs. Job. I don't think she should have said what she said, but a lot of people say things that they shouldn't when they're going through trials. What does it say about Job? Dost thou retain thine integrity? Can I say number 4? He acknowledged God's control. He acknowledged God's blessedness. He controlled how he responded. He retained his integrity. He retained his integrity. He said, listen, character. Character is tested in trials. Who you are. The trial doesn't define you, but it does reveal who you are. Amen? We don't like that. Because you know what a trial is? It's a burning fire that consumes off all the pretense. Let me just tell you this. I don't like them. Amen? You could say amen if you don't like them too. But he retained his integrity. Number five, look at verse 10. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. By the way, it's not our place to say that. Job said that to his wife. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Number five, he acknowledged that in life there was good and there was evil. Seems like, and maybe it's just because the only people that I really associate with are the people of God. Seems like a lot of bad things happen to a lot of good people. Doesn't it seem that way? Listen, I know that's not, you know, God said in Matthew, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Did you know millionaires get cancer? Did you know that? Did you know that people who have everything that the world is craving after lose children at a young age? Sometimes we can get a little bit on the martyr complex for the people of God. Why do all these bad things keep happening? Why do these bad things keep happening to Job? You know what Job said? Fooey on that. Life is good and it has evil to it too. That's just life. That's what Job was saying. He acknowledged that in life there's good and there's evil. And listen, folks, if we're going to respond properly to trials, we're going to have to acknowledge that. Bad things happen. Carrie went out this morning to start the Jeep and the battery was dead. Whoa, it's me! Why does this always happen to me? No. Sometimes the battery's dead. For lost people and saved people. Amen. Sometimes the radiator leaks. Sometimes the hot water heater goes out. It happens! There's good and bad in life. And respond to trials. He acknowledged God's control. He acknowledged God's blessedness. He controlled how he responded. He retained his integrity. He acknowledged that in life there's good and evil. You know what else he did? He allowed time to grieve. Look at verse number 13. And God help us in verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite. They had made an appointment together and come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And I put in my Bible, yeah, right. For those of you that know Job's friend, with friends like Job's, who needs enemies? But they came, and if you look at verse number 13, we see the sixth point tonight. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? He allowed himself time to grieve. You know, sometimes in this 2012, this rat race that we're in, we forget to grieve. Brother Tom, don't you forget to grieve for Mama. It's okay. It's okay. And all God's people said, amen. You take time to think and to meditate and to grieve. I appreciate so much our deacons and our senior crowd. Brother Horst pulled me aside last week. He said, Pastor, you and your wife need to take a couple days off. You just need that. And I understand that. But you know me. I'm go, 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 go. But you know what? Job had a lot to do, but he took time to grieve. Folks, it's not a sin to grieve when you've lost. It's not a sin. Miss Robin lost her son. Not a sin to grieve for him. Amen. He took time to grieve. He allowed himself time to grieve. For 7 days and seven nights he sat on the ground and grieved. You say, that's a long time. Sure it is. But he allowed himself time to grieve. Let me give you the last point of responding to trials. He acknowledged God's control. He acknowledged God's blessedness. He controlled how he responded. He retained his integrity. He acknowledged that in life there was good and evil. He was allowed time to grieve. And then lastly, go to Job 23. Job chapter 23. I may have one more point here. I think we'll give you 8 instead of 7. It's free. That last one doesn't cost anything. Amen. First 7 cost big bucks, and then the last one we just tack on. Look at chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what Job did as he responded to his trials? He believed God's presence was with him. He said, he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, so I can't see where he is, but I know he's there. You know, sometimes when you're going through a trial, all you can focus on is that trial. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. For a long time, and I apologize for using so many illustrations in the congregation tonight, but it means something to me. Last year, I hope this doesn't embarrass you, brother, but last year, Brother Horsch, dealing so much with his daughter Sharon, and many of you prayed for her, and God's on the throne, and God's good. God's done a miraculous work there. But last year, it wasn't always so, was it, brother? It was terrible. It was just phone call after phone call after phone call to Bill and Nancy and not knowing what to do. You know, when somebody has mental illness, I don't care if you got 16 degrees next to your name, sometimes you just don't know what to do. And I know Brother Horsch didn't say this to me, and I know him and Nancy are people of prayer. I know this. You're going into a trial. Sometimes you get that tunnel vision. Just the trial. And you can't sense God's presence. But I want to tell you something. According to that black book that I preach out of 4 times a week, He's there. And Job believed that God was with him. God had a purpose in all these trials. You're going through a trial. How are you responding? You say, Pastor, I'm crying. I understand that. That happens. It's okay. By the way, it's okay. God gave us tear ducts for a reason, not just to stop them up. Amen. If you did that, he'd put sand in there. Amen. No, sometimes God wants us to cry. You say, Pastor, I'm still serving God. Praise God for that. Still going forward. But have you acknowledged God's control? Have you really said, God, I know you're in control. I know you're in control. Have you acknowledged God's blessedness? Have you really from your heart said, and listen, folks, this is hard. When you're going through a trial to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's easy to say when you're on the mountain. Another thing when you're going through a trial. How about, are you controlling how you're responding to the trial? Are you retaining your integrity? Or are you blaming God? God, why do you let this happen to me? Don't you know I serve? Don't you know I come to church? Don't you know I... Yeah. How about acknowledging that in life there's good and evil? Bad things happen to good people, folks. How about allowing yourself time to grieve and believing that God's presence is there? Can I tell you what all of these responses added up to in Job's life? Go to Job chapter 42. The last chapter of Job. You know, in the middle of Job, of course, he pours out his complaint to God, and then God asks him, beginning in chapter 38, God asks him a series of 82 consecutive questions. It's a neat study to do. Take your Bible, and I have in this Bible right here, I keep going back to this old Bible. I'm trying to break in a new one, but I keep going back to this old one. I took all the times where God asked a question, and I circled the question mark. And I counted them all up, and it came with 82 straight questions after Job complained to God about why this had happened to him. And God said, hold on. Where were you when I created everything? Where were you when I hung the stars? And he goes on and on to show Job who he's talking to. My main, not main, boy, there's about 1,000 of them, but one of my main gripes against the contemporary Christian church movement is God's your buddy. No, sir. No, ma'am. He is holy, almighty God, and He is to be reverenced and feared. Amen. But after that gets all done, God shows Job who He is, and Job acknowledges who He is. I love this chapter. Verse 10. And this is an awesome verse. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Can I tell you something, folks? And I'm going to continue here, but those buzzards weren't worth praying for. Amen? It's not what it's about. It's about God getting a hold of your heart. Sometimes He uses trials to tender us, to humble us. And it says God turned His captivity when He prayed for His friends. And then what does it say? And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. It said he was the greatest of the men of the East before. And God gave him twice as much. Then came there unto him all his brethren and his sisters and all that had been his acquaintance before. Indeed, he ate bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him twice as much. You know, everyone in the Bible, everyone, whoever got through the trial, this is my last point, was blessed by God. You see, sometimes we think, this is never going to end. How am I going to get through this? By the way, I had no intention of preaching this message yesterday. God changed it around for me. I try to give Him the freedom to do that. Amen. Sometimes when we make the bulletin, we're like, that's what we're doing. No, God put this message on my heart. Why? Because you either went through a trial, you're either going through a trial right now, or you got one coming around the corner. Hey, let's be like Job. Amen? Let's be like Job when it comes to these things. Why? Because in the end, he was blessed by God. In the end of it all, God blessed him with twice as much. Why? Because he acknowledged God's control. He acknowledged God's blessedness. He controlled how he responded. He retained his integrity. He acknowledged that in life there was good and evil. He allowed himself time to grieve. And he believed, though he couldn't feel God, that God was there with him, responding to trials. Father,